Okay.
And thank you, Yolanda. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello again to everyone here and out there. I just want to say that as I've been doing this work for the last couple of months, I've really gotten to rely on Yolanda, and I really appreciate her work and appreciate working together with her. And you'll hear from both of us from time to time. Someone said that Pacifica is a unique organization. I want to say that I'm really happy to be involved in this unique and wonderful organization, and I'm reminded every day how important Pacifica is and what important things we have to do. You know, listening to the Judiciary Committee and Gonzalez the other day on KPFA kind of cost me some billable hours, but it was time well worth it. And listening to KPFT since I've been in town, and understanding that KPFT is the only progressive media outlet in about 1,000 miles in every direction, it tells us something about where we're at and what we have to do. And one of the things that's really been interesting over the last few months is working with Rob and Dave and the other members of the Licensing and Distribution Task Force and talking about these incredibly visionary ideas about how we're going to use digital media to expand our offerings, expand our audience. And so that's the perspective that I take to the kinds of conversations we're having today about things that seem relatively mundane and technical, but they're really matters of understanding how we function and how we function together so we can do so competently. I know people don't like terms like corporate or professional. That makes us sound like them. But we should think of ourselves as wanting to be accountable to each other, as wanting to be disciplined and not wasting time, in wanting to be reasonable and sensitive to operating in an organization which has such diverse leadership and such a diverse group of people. And to me, that's the basis for all this, not to lay down the rules. And I feel, again, that it's not my job to make the rules or lay down the rules so much as remind us of the rules that we've all agreed to follow. Because when we've come together in Pacifica, we've agreed on our bylaws, we've agreed on California nonprofit corporation law, we've agreed on a lot of laws, either explicitly or implicitly. And again, the purpose of that is so that we can work together and accomplish the broader purpose that we're all committed to. So I want to start off this 17 or 16 minutes that I have left talking about a couple of issues, some of which may be obvious, some of which are not. It doesn't say anything in the bylaws about the fiduciary duty of board members, PNB members, and LSB members, but I would say from the point of view of accountability, that's our most important responsibility, to be fiduciaries. And what that means, that's a general kind of legal term. What it means is you put the duty of your assignment above any personal interest. It's kind of the flip side of conflict of interest law. So, we have many examples of fiduciaries. When you go out and hire a lawyer, you would not expect, although it might happen, that the lawyer might be putting his interest in the legal fees ahead of the interest that you hired him to protect. But that's a breach of fiduciary duty. When you hire someone to sell your house, you expect that person is going to do her best to find the best buyer for you, not go to her sister-in-law and try to give that person a good deal on your house, because the law imposes a fiduciary duty. Now, another aspect, or again, maybe it's part of the same coin, is the freedom that we have, and generally speaking, the lack of personal liability that we have to worry about. And maybe one way to think about it is that as long as board members carry out their fiduciary duties, then they're not going to have any issues of personal liability. Because under California law, which governs us, and California law has made it a point to encourage people to be board members of nonprofit corporations. And one of the ways in which it does that is by shielding you all from liability for the actions you take, again, as long as you take them consistent with your fiduciary duty. So what it says is that you are all immune from a suit for money damages, provided that your actions are within the course of your duties as a director acting as a board member, or as a director acting as an officer, if you happen to be an officer of the board, in good faith, meaning your subjective good faith. It's a good principle here. If you think you're acting in good faith, you're acting in good faith. And that's expanded upon by saying in a manner that the person believes to be in the best interest of the corporation and in the exercise of judgment. So if you think you're acting in the best interest of Pacifica and you're making a policy decision, you can't be sued for it. And so it's, again, there's the responsibility, but the other side of that is some freedom and some protection. I think Yolanda said this in certain ways, but I want to say it in a different way. The board is basically a policy board. Right? That's our job as a board, is to make policy on all sorts of issues. And from what I'm hearing in the conversation, we need to make more policy so that we can further figure out what to do. And I think that each of the committees, and particularly the personnel committee, has got a long agenda to prioritize in terms of making sure, for example, that the procedures are uniform station to station in terms of evaluating general managers, making sure employment agreements are in writing, making sure the job descriptions are current and are developed, at least as quickly as we develop new jobs. Now, of course, we're not simply a policy board. There's many ways in which this board is modeled after the elected boards that run cities or school districts or other public entities. So besides making policy, you have the job of developing and passing the budget. And you have the job of selecting and evaluating your chief officers, your executive director and your CFO. And so those are responsibilities that you have. Another thing to say, and again, this is not like trying to put handcuffs on people, but it's helpful in terms of understanding things, is that board members have absolutely no authority, no power as individuals. In other words, when you make a decision in this room and you are voting, you're a board, and you're a board member, and you have that authority. You wander over to KPFT this afternoon and indicate to the people there that you'd like to go on the air and talk about the mayor of Houston. You don't have that authority. It's not as though you are, as individuals, the boss of any employee who works for Pacifica. The authority is the authority that comes from collective action, not from individual initiative. So I wanted to point that out. You know, there are holes. Here's another hole that wasn't mentioned. And we have a issue that needs to be resolved. I don't need to particularly prioritize this, but I keep seeing things as they come up, having to do with authority in the national office. And there is ambiguity between the definitions of the roles of the executive director and the CFO. And I'm not expressing an opinion on how that should be resolved. I'm simply suggesting that that should be on the list of issues that need to be resolved in order to streamline and make the organization more competent, and also to make it clear who's accountable for what. I mean, one of the issues that you have to grapple with continuously is overseeing the way in which your national staff operates. And if it's not clear who's responsible for what, it's unclear who's accountable for what. And that gets in the way of your being able to carry out your responsibilities. Now, I wanted to speak about issues of confidentiality and how that impacts us all. When we are sitting here, and this is true for an LSB as well as the Pacifica National Board, and we are sitting in closed session, that means that anything that's discussed in that closed session is confidential, and that no individual whether it's an LSB member or a PNB member, has any right to disclose what is said in a closed session of their board to anyone else, whether that person is a friend, an enemy, a member of staff. It's all confidential. And the exception is only when the body decides that something that's been decided in closed session should be made public. And you have that power as a body to decide that. But individuals don't. And unfortunately, we have had situations around the country where people have not only disclosed closed session information, but have rather brazenly said they felt it was their obligation to do so, and no one was going to tell them what to do. And we had to make it clear that we were going to tell them what to do, and that this is not appropriate. So that's a rule that applies regardless of the topic. There are two other topics which have specific legal liabilities attached to them, and those have to do with litigation and personnel issues. Again, the law is different state to state, but I know, of course, two of our stations are in California, and in California, employee personnel matters are entitled to privacy under the state constitution. And so a conversation about an evaluation of an employee, about the discipline of an employee, about claims that have been made against an employee, which are learned by you, whether it's learned in closed session or in some other way, are confidential matters. And disclosing those matters publicly can not only lead to very, very expensive litigation against Pacifica, because the violation of the right to privacy can, among other things, lead to punitive damages. And when I hear punitive damages, I hear six figures, sometimes even seven figures. That's $1 million. And it makes me very concerned and worried about that. And it's a liability not only of the organization, but of the individual involved. And few of our individual members are rich enough to pay off that sort of liability. So basically, the burden will fall on us as an organization. And someone asked me an interesting question. Lisa asked me this question during the break. And the question was, what if I learn publicly about something that's involving either litigation or a personnel matter that's taking place, say, at a station across the country? That's an interesting question. In that case, even though the information was not obtained confidentially, the board member still has an obligation to maintain confidentiality about it, because A, it's a personnel matter, B, it could be a matter in litigation, C, it might be a violation of your fiduciary duty to disclose something or even to say something. Supposing there was a manager at KPFT who was accused of doing something wrong, and someone at WPFW said, I know that son of a gun. When they used to be in Washington, they did the same thing. And again, that would jeopardize the foundation in that in any litigation involving the case in Houston. And so the member in Washington, even though what he or she knew was not learned confidentially, was not learned to secure information, has to keep it confidential, because obviously disclosing it could jeopardize the interests of the foundation, and that would be a violation of the members' obligations to protect the corporation. Issues of litigation are the same, and it's kind of a matter of common sense. If people who are on a board, an LSB, for example, and they're angry at the general manager of that station, and so therefore they're using information they may have obtained about litigation or a personnel issue as part of a political battle to unseat that general manager, that's a violation of the board member's obligations. It's also a violation of the rights of that general manager. And so it's really important, as we engage in political conversation, and we should be free to engage in very fervent, passionate, critical political discussion. We could say, you know, we hate everything we hear on KPFA, and we think that the station should be turned inside out and new programs put on, and we've just got to change the sound and change everything. That's fine. Once that goes into a conversation of, well, and also there's so-and-so at KPFA who's responsible for this, and we want that person fired, and by the way, did you hear what they did 2 years ago, and so on, that's going over the line. And, you know, I think a good way to maintain that conversation is to say, it's fine to say anything you want about something that's on the air. It's not fine to say anything you want about the persons responsible for putting it on the air. That's something that's easy to keep in mind. The last topic I want to address briefly, and again, I'm not campaigning here for anything to happen, but from what I've learned in the past 8 months that I've been doing this job is that people are very reluctant, even in cases of extreme misconduct, to take disciplinary actions against board members. And I don't think there's been any cases on this board, but on several of the LSBs, and I mean several, there have been members who have clearly crossed the line, whether it's engaging in the release of confidential information or taking actions in the guise of political responsibility that undermine the interests of the station, or even, you know, making threats of violence against people. And there's been a kind of an approach which says, well, we can't deal with these things. And in fact, we can. And in fact, in looking at our bylaws, Pacifica's bylaws are very easy in terms of getting rid of board members. I've seen, you know, in a lot of situations, particularly employment situations, but also other board situations, there's a requirement that before anyone can be disciplined or removed, there has to be something that constitutes legal cause. But for those of you who don't have the language in mind, let me just remind you that, and this is talking about both national board members and LSB members, the only finding that has to be made is that, quote, the director has exhibited conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation. I mean, that's pretty loose. I mean, if I were a criminal defense lawyer and I had a client who was going to be put in jail for conduct that's adverse to the interests of the state, I would be protesting very loudly. But this is part of your bylaws, and it's lawful. And part of the reason it's lawful is because our board members are volunteers, and they don't have the same protected interests that people have in terms of being free from being put in jail or even from losing the job that they hold permanently and get paid for. So the finding, again, is only conduct that is adverse to the interests of the foundation. And that is easily sufficient language to deal with someone who's leaking information, threatening other people, or things like that. It takes, in the case of directors, it would take a vote of two-thirds of the members of this board. In the case of an LSB, it takes the vote of two-thirds of the members of the LSB. But if you comport with basic due process, and I'll mention what that is, it's not a big challenge to get rid of someone. Now, due process. And here again is where we have to take legal principles that may not be part of the bylaws and incorporate them into the bylaws. But due process is very simple. Number one, you have to give the person written notice of what it is that they're accused of. On such and such a date, you disclosed information that you that was disclosed to you in closed session. Number two, you have to give them reasonable notice of when the decision is going to be made. In the case of the LSBs, the bylaws actually say 30 days notice of the meeting in which this vote's going to take place. That's probably more, in fact, I'm sure it's more than the common law requires. In other words, if that 30 days wasn't in there, you could do it in 10 days, surely, that that's enough notice. And if it was a matter of a PNB member, 10 days would be enough. Again, written notice that this decision is going to be made in Houston, Texas on January 28th, 2007. And then finally, you have to give the person an opportunity to be heard in their own defense. And this doesn't necessarily mean call witnesses or bring a lawyer or anything like that, although you could allow them to do it, but it means literally before you take action, the person has an opportunity to come in and explain her side of the story or his side of the story. And that's it. And then you vote. When you got two-thirds, it's done. And in the case of LSB members, if a person is removed, they can't run again for 3 years. So you've solved your problem for 3 years if you decide to do that. And maybe by then the person will find another organization to undermine. So, do I have time left?
Yeah, well, one thing on time. So we have, according to the schedule, lunch to 1:15. And one thing we could do is go get our lunch. And if people wanted to reconvene around 1, we could continue to ask questions of Dan while people ate. Then the next session we would start 1:15. I do want to say, though, apropos of what we're talking about, we have a policy that says how board members can get further clarification or opinions from our attorney, and it calls for you to put it in writing via email to the attorney, CC the whole board, and the attorney, our counsel, will respond in writing. We may want to look at that for things like if somebody has a question about whether they have a conflict of interest or certain other things. We may want to go back and say there are times when board members within certain limits might be able to call directly and get a particular piece of information. But right now our policy is 3 directors have to sign on to a request, and it is emailed to the council. And so with that, I think we should break now, and then if it's okay with everybody, unless people want to continue with this and eat into our eating time. But if you want, we could break, come back at 1 with or without food. We're allowed to eat in here, and we could ask some more questions and continue that way. I was just about to call Donna and ask her because I don't know the answer to that question. So if you want to ask one more question, well, I find out.
Well, I just want to say on access, Thomas asked me during the last break, you know, what about an emergency? And if you learned at your station that someone was going to be going to court at 2:00 this afternoon to try to get an injunction against something they were doing, and I was suggesting that there's an implicit exception in the rule about contacting counsel for purposes of an emergency. I mean, maybe we need to write this down a little later, but I would say that if in the event of a real emergency, people can call right away.
Okay, Greg's got lunch, I guess, is being served out there.
No, lunch is prepared. You go out immediately to the right into the next, into what's on the other side of the room.
Okay, so we'll restart session at 1:15, but people can come back and we'll chain Dan to the desk and he will be made to answer questions.
Okay.
And we were going to cut off the stream and we'll come back on stream at 1.